One of my listeners sent me an email complaining that I play the music too loudly when the podcast starts. So this is for them. I hope that helps. Hey guys, it's Grace Jung. Welcome. Welcome to K-Drama School. How are you all doing? I don't know why I ask you how you are all doing because it's not like I hear a response or anything. I think I'm doing okay. No, I'll speak the truth. I'm not gonna lie to you. Today was a challenging day. It is still a challenging day. I've been crying hysterically like nonstop since morning. So my face is puffy. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can see that my face is puffy. My voice is a little weird. My energy is low. And you know, there are just some days where I have to just hysterically cry for like hours at a time. I'm just in a spot where I'm like struggling with some things. And I won't go into detail about it, but you know, we all have dark days. Yeah, we all have dark days. I also think that like March, I think the month of March is just a hard time for me. I get the most suicidal ideations around March. Like March 2022, I was like very suicidal. I think March 2021, I was also very suicidal. I think last year, March, I was okay. Or maybe I was suicidal. I can't remember. And then I was like, what's with March and my suicidal ideations? And then I realized like today, well, I'm recording this on Sunday, March 10th. Today is Pisces new moon. And the woohoo side, the astrologically inclined side of me, wonders if that has something to do with it. Because for the last like month and a half, I've been able to sleep pretty well every single night. Because I started this new job and I have to wake up at 6 in the morning to go to this job. And I just go to sleep at like 9, 10 p.m. And so I wake up and I sleep very well nowadays. And I'm not on like cannabis or anything. I'll take CBD at night, but that's also not every single night. In any case, this crack of dawn, like March 10th, 2 a.m. I woke up at 2 a.m. and I was just up, wide awake. And I was like, well, I guess I can't sleep, so I just had to like sit up, meditate, read a book, and then started crying hysterically. You know, I had just like a lot of anxiety. It might have something to do with like my nervous system being triggered earlier in the day. There was like a guest, like a tourist, who was like screaming and yelling. By the way, if you're a tourist, and you find yourself screaming and yelling at a service personnel while you're on vacation, that should be an indication to you that you're not enjoying your vacation. Okay. Like I actually do love this job a lot. Like I help tourists, like I direct them at the green screen, I take their photographs, you know. And it's a big laugh. It's a gas. It's a great time. And I see hundreds of people a day. And it's a part-time gig, you know. Like the industry was fucked up last year and I'm still dealing with that. A lot of actors, performers, creatives are dealing with that at the moment. And so like things are just rough, really, really rough. This one IATSE worker told me that IATSE is the union for like crew members, like people who do like production design, set design, you know, gaffing, lighting, you know, grips, you know, people like that. This is like their union. And I was speaking to this one guy, he's a production designer, and he was just telling me that because of the actor, the SAG and the writers' strike last year, people like lost homes, you know, they lost their savings, they had to move back in with their parents. Like things were really bad for a number of people. Quite a few of my actor friends were expressing their anxiety about money. And you know, I was generally okay for 2023, and then it started hitting me later. And so I'm dealing with the waves of that now. And so, yeah, like a lot of my crying fits have a lot to do with that. And, you know, just feeling pathetic, you know, feeling like a failure and a loser. when I have a doctorate degree and a master's degree, a college degree, you know, an American citizenship. I have all this education. And, you know, it's not like I don't have experience working. I do have experience working, but, you know, it's been like so long since I worked at an office that nobody wants to hire me. I can't get tutoring jobs because the tutoring places find me threatening. You know, they think I'm overqualified and they don't want to hire somebody who is more educated than them. So, you know, like it's just a really, really horribly, impossibly entrapping time at the moment for me. And yeah, so anyway, that's what I've been hysterically crying about. And, you know, it's mostly stemming from like my own self-talk, of course. Yeah, like just thinking and feeling that I've been living my life like a complete disaster or disarray, blaming myself, right? But who's exactly to blame for something like that? You know, like I can't just simply blame myself. I mean, that's why I start hysterically crying, because it's not the right answer. If that was the right answer, I would not be bawling my eyes out, you know? But it's okay. Like I do have a support system, you know, like lately my relationship with my mom has improved greatly and she's been extremely emotionally supportive for me lately. Which is, you know, it's good. It's not like she hasn't been, but there were so many occasions in my life, in my childhood primarily, where I did not sense that kind of support that she's now giving to me in my adulthood. And, you know, like I do feel lucky. So that was also causing me a lot of emotional overwhelm. And that's one of the symptoms of a Pisces new moon is emotional overwhelm. So if you're feeling anguish, if you're feeling emotional overwhelm, if you're feeling disconnected, or on the other end, if you're feeling like manic, or if you're feeling like super like high, you know, high vibes, that kind of shit. If you're feeling like weird or off, yeah, the Pisces new moon has something to do with that, because the Pisces sign is a very emotional sign, a very mystical sign. And I happen to be a Pisces. So anyway, it's like it's a very intense time for me at the moment. So thank you for listening to my jabbering on and on about my personal life. But, you know, this is my fucking podcast, so I can say whatever I want, all right? I can say whatever the fuck I want, all right? 8 minutes of this monologue, me talking about my emotional state and my financial state and, you know, my problems. I can do this. I can do this, all right? I let my therapist go. Yes, I let her go 2 months ago because, you know, I couldn't afford her anymore. But also because, you know, it's just time to move on, right? Does this count as complaining right now? I have to ask myself that and be honest with you. I don't think so. I don't think this is complaining. I think this is just seeing things as they are at the moment, as truthfully and honestly as possible. I think that's what it is. And of course, this will change. It will change. My perspective on this will change. The situation itself will change. Everything will change. Everything will be different. So yeah, there that is. If you're working in the industry, you understand what I'm going through. Please know that you are not alone. I think that does help to hear that, to know that you are not alone, to know that it is not your fault. To say that, you know, put it in general terms, like this is just another example of capitalism and its failures. Yeah. People want to think that these things like capitalism and the economy is stable and they're consistent and it's not the system, that it's the people. No, it's not. Like the system is, you know, showing its holes, it's showing its flaws constantly as it has throughout the eons. And so this is just another example of that. And, you know, just as the tide recedes, it comes right back in. So let's just keep our shit together. Let's not off ourselves today, okay? That was one of the things I was like yelling, like when I was on the phone with my mom. I was like, I should just kill myself. I should just kill myself. You know, I'm like fucking 40 years old, you know, like day after tomorrow. And I'm going to fucking, you know, like crying to my mom about money. I'm so pathetic. I should just kill myself. Like so dramatic. So dramatic. Fucking a fit. A fucking fit. But at the same time, that's not to say that I wasn't serious. Like, you know, like that's how low I felt. It's real. It's real. And it's a lie if we say that, you know, things are always perfect and good and life is always, you know, a fucking walk through a field of daisies, you know? That's not the case. We have to acknowledge the shit. We have to acknowledge the moments where we're like, I want to check out. I'm done with this bullshit. Like, fuck this shit. I do want to jump out a window. There are moments like this, and it's okay to acknowledge those moments, right? I do have shows coming up, you guys. Let's talk about that. I have a show coming up on March 22nd. I believe I have a show coming up on March 22nd. I mean, the booker booked me, but he hasn't sent me anything. So just keep checking my website. You can go to gracejohncomedy.com/shows. That is the new page I uploaded. So I'll be uploading all of my shows, tour dates as they trickle in. I will be keeping that page updated. So if you follow me on Instagram, you will know about my shows. But also if you visit my website on occasion, gracejohncomedy.com, you can click on the link upcoming shows and see all of my show dates on that page. I also have a show coming up on March 30th, which is a variety show with all of my Asian American clown friends. Yes, I am part of the LA Asian American clown community. And we are putting on our first ever comedy variety show at the Elysian Theater on March 30th, 8 p.m. Ticket link is available on gracejohncomedy.com/shows. So please visit that. And I have a show coming up next month, April 22nd, over in Thousand Oaks. So if you're over in Thousand Oaks, I will be stopping by to visit you. I will be doing a set, a longer set, in Thousand Oaks. Please come through. I mean, that sounds like a fun time. And it's a free one. So if you're in Thousand Oaks, come and see me. Again, that's gracejohncomedy.com/shows. Another good news thing that I want to share with you all is that Publishers Weekly gave my book, K-Drama School, A Pop Culture Inquiry into Why We Love Korean Television, gave it a stellar review. Yes, Publishers Weekly. It is not, it's a trade magazine. It's a trade news outlet, trade media outlet that's been like around for like over 120 years or something like that. And that's like the trade piece that people in the media world read about. So like book reviewers, you know, they'll go to Publishers Weekly and like get a sense of what to take a look at, you know, what's juicy, what's not. And Publishers Weekly likes my book. Hey, isn't that a good thing? Yes. So if you have not pre-ordered my book, Publishers Weekly gave it a rave review, and it is an incentive for you to go out and purchase my book if you have not done that. You can also buy the digital audio version of it. You can do whatever you like. You can just get the book. How about that? You can get the book and you can read it. If you don't know what the book is about, then just read the book. Then you'll know what it's about. That's the other thing that really annoys me. It's like an annoying question. They're like, Grace, you wrote a book? I'm like, yeah. And they go, what's it about? And I'm like, just fucking read the book. Then you'll know what it's about. What kind of stupid fucking question is that? What is it about? It's in the title. It's about Korean television. It's about Korean dramas, K-dramas. The other annoying thing I keep hearing, maybe I already said this on this podcast. If I did, I'm just going to repeat it again because it's just really annoying. People will be like, oh, K-dramas? Like, I've never seen one. I know nothing about it. I'm like, but you've seen Squid Game, right? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's a fucking K-drama. They're like, it is? I'm like, well, you think it came out of your mother's ass? Yes, it's a K-drama. It's from Korea. It's a Korean serialized television show, you fucking idiot. Where do you think that came from? And it's annoying because there is a hint of racism and misogyny embedded in that assumption that Squid Game is not a K-drama. You know, people think K-drama, they think fucking that horrible show Boys Over Flowers or, you know, like The Heirs or some bullshit like that, yeah? Like, they're like, oh, this is for, like teenage girls or weirdos who are into manga. No, it's not. It's actually a very diverse and eclectic genre, and it encompasses many different genres. So, you know, fuck you. Squid Game is a K-drama, you morons. Yeah. So, cut the shit. Sorry, that was aggressive, but it's annoying. It's annoying. You guys, I am going to talk about a show that I kind of ignored. And I saw this on Netflix, but it's not a Netflix original. It is not a Netflix exclusive. I believe you could see the show on any platform you want. You could watch it on Dramacool if you'd like, but I saw it on Netflix in the United States. It's called She Would Never Know. The Korean title is 선배 그 립스틱 바르지 마세요, or something like that, which is, it roughly translates to senior or 선배, please do not put on that lipstick. which is an interesting title. And it's, you know, it's a little bossy. It's a tad bossy, yeah. How about she could put on whatever fucking lipstick color she wants, young man? But, you know, maybe she's into that. Maybe she's into a bossy young man telling her what to do. Anyway, this show is called She Would Never Know. That's the English title. And it stars one of my delightful favorites. It stars Roon and Won Jina. And Won Jina is a really interesting actress. She has this like really cute face with like round features. And then her voice is very low. She has like a low register, like, you know, foggy, smoggy, smoldering, sexy kind of voice. And it's like, whoa, like she's an enigma. Like, whoa, where did that come from? I wasn't expecting that, Won Jina. So anyways, these two. So Won Jina and Roon together on this show. And it is set at a cosmetics office company, or, you know, some conglomerate, some corporation, cosmetics corporation. And it's an office setting, and it's like an office romance, love drama, romantic drama. And it's based on a webtoon written by Elise. And the show is very tonally similar to An Pan-seok's K-dramas like One Spring Night or Something in the Rain. All right. In fact, it has a lot of similarities. All right. One Spring Night and She Would Never Know have a lot of similarities. And I'm just going to note the patterns here just because that's the interesting thing for me to do right now. Okay. So the three sibling thing. All right. There are three siblings in One Spring Night, three siblings in She Would Never Know. Of course, in She Would Never Know, like the youngest is a boy. Okay. Whereas with One Spring Night, it's all three girls. But the three sibling thing, you know, whenever there are three siblings, it becomes like very entertaining to watch. I don't know. I enjoy watching three sibling dynamics on a show because, you know, there's always like the middle child who's acting all fucking weird and crazy because they're the middle child, you know, like they're the odd one. And of course, in this show, She Would Never Know, the middle child, whoa, she does go through something. She does. And her insecurities are like, wow, like, oh my God. Like, I've known some middle child people as friends and like, oh my God, they're very difficult to handle. If you're a middle child, I'm sorry. But, you know, girl, like, get it together. You're okay, is my point. Like, nobody's, you know, doing this to you personally. But the middle child in this scenario does go through something. I'll get to that though. All right. And then the other similarity, the commonality between One Spring Night and She Would Never Know is the love triangle situation with like two guys and then the female lead. All right. That is similar, right? But it's not just that. It's the fact that Kim Jun-han, who plays Ki-seok on One Spring Night, and Lee Hyun-wook, who plays Jae-shin in She Would Never Know, they look so alike. They look alike. They act alike. Their past history with the father issue, like the daddy issue for both of them is similar. It's like really uncanny. It's uncanny. And that's where I'm just like, okay, like this is like where K-dramas start to be like cookie cutter prints of one another. They start to carbon copy one another, right? K-dramas do this all the time. Not only K-dramas, but K-pop does this all the time. Korean movies do this all the time. If you look at any art circulation in the pop culture industry, this is a common thing. Like, you know, when a screenwriter works on a screenplay, right? When we write the logline, when we write the synopsis, when we pitch it to a development agency or whatever, we compare it to other movies. It's like, oh, it's kind of like, you know, this movie with that. It's like Pretty Woman meets, you know, Midnight Cowboy or whatever, you know, like they'll mention other things in the zeitgeist to give you a sense of something. But it's like, when I was watching this show, I was just like, did An Pan-seok direct this? You know, he didn't. Some other people did. But tonally, it's very similar. Also, there's like a realist aesthetic in both shows. Like, One Spring Night is very realist, very, very realist. But this show, She Would Never Know, is also got a very realist thing going. And it's like heavily interspliced with the melodrama. And Korean TV, Korean movies, this is a very common through line in both. Like melodrama and realism are like two sides of the same coin a lot of the times. So that's a commonality I'm seeing here. So I'm just like, when I was watching this show, She Would Never Know, I was just like, am I rewatching One Spring Night? Like, I was getting confused at times. So there's that. And then the other thing, all right, these two guys, right? So the two assholes, the two asshole dudes in One Spring Night and She Would Never Know, they look like assholes. You know, they got like the squinty eyes, all right? They look super skinny, like birds. They have like a flat affect, right? They talk like assholes. And that shit turns me on, okay? I'm not saying that it turns me on to say like, I'm not like condoning abusive men, because I'm not turned on by the fact that they're abusive to the woman, you know? I'm not turned on by men who are abusive towards me. I find kind of asshole-ish like vibes sexy. I do, because it shows like a sharp opinion in somebody. And when somebody has a sharp opinion, it shows intelligence, wit, you know, it shows that they have a sense of self. They have an understanding of themselves. It shows personality. It shows ego. And it shows like a material sort of earthly strength. Let's put it that way. So I find that attractive. I do. And, you know, I was going to say that this is my sickness, but no, it's not. This is just my preference. This is my taste. Okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. It also shows a deep insecurity, because it's a flaw to be a dick all the time. Yeah. It's a flaw to be guarded like that in the heart. And it shows a deep insecurity, and it reveals their insecurities in a very frank way, at least to me. Right. Anybody who is highly judgmental are usually showcasing their own insecurities. That's how it goes. So like, I find it very vulnerable as well. So perhaps that is also the attraction. So I like this Lee Hyun-wook guy, this Lee Hyun-wook actor. I don't think I've seen him in anything before. If I have, I don't remember him. But I want to watch more shows with Lee Hyun-wook in it, because I find his dickish quality very attractive. Yeah. So if you look at these dudes, like Lee Hyun-wook, or if you look at Kim Jun-an, or if you look at, you know, my favorite, Son Seok-gu, or, you know, my past favorite, like Seo Ji-seop. Yeah, they all kind of look alike. They have these like squinty eyes. They're skinny, you know, and they look like pricks. So that's my thing. Now you know what my taste in Korean guys are. Like I like squinty-eyed douchebags. but I personally think Kim Jun-an is way more talented. Kim Jun-an in One Spring Night, holy shit. He is extremely talented. And he always plays an asshole. Did you see him in Anna? Have you guys seen Anna yet? I already covered Anna earlier. Like, I already told you all to watch it on Amazon Prime. I told you all to watch the director's cut, because that's the real version. And Kim Jun-an plays the asshole husband to Anna in that show. He is amazing. I mean, he is terrifying and super violent. Oh my gosh. But he's an amazing actor. So fuck yeah, Kim Jun-an all the way. I'm on his side all the way. This show, She Would Never Know, definitely falls in that category that I'm not going to say I invented, but I'm just naming this category. You know, perhaps I coined it, whatever you want to call it. But I would call this a lesbian K-drama by proxy, in the sense that it's a show written by a woman for the hetero cis female fantasy, while using a hetero cis male lead as the vehicle for delivering that fantasy. So it's a woman written show for women, pretending like this is how men are, right? But this is an aspiration. This is an idealism, right? It's not reality per se. It's something we desire. Yeah, it's speaking to female desire, a hetero cis female desire, but while using a man. But it's really like, no, this is really a female audience seeing the female writer's fantasy and they're gushing over that. So, you know, basically, like, the audience, the female audience member and the female writer should be fucking. Right? But that's not happening. This is just, you know, the TV show is in the way. You know, via Rowan's body. Rowan is great. I think, you know, he's a delightful bag of chips. He's like Pringles, yeah? He's easy on the eye. You know, he's not too intense. He's not overbearing. He's got a sense of humor. He's tall. He's handsome. He's, you know, he's an okay actor. You know, he's not blowing me away to the point of, like, distraction. You know, like, where's his Oscar? It's not like that. But I can see that he is talented. He is very talented as a performer. So that's good. I want to keep seeing Rowan do more stuff. Yeah. I wonder what he's doing in film. He's probably, like, doing some different stuff in movies, but yeah, so far in the K-drama world, like, he is kicking ass as the sexy male lead nowadays. So anyway, the show is very realist. I already talked about this. Very melodramatic. There are very concrete traumas for some of these characters. Like, the pains are very unique and distinct. The relationship between Sung-ha and her emotionally needy mother is quite fascinating. The side story. And this is where I'm talking about the middle child sibling, Rowan's second older sister. The side story that explores the queer relationship in the show is very heavy, but also unique. And I'm seeing this, like, interesting pattern of K-drama housewives becoming queer heroines on the show by delivering some kind of moral and emotional support for their closeted gay husbands. What is that trend? Because it is a trend. I'm seeing a pattern. I saw this in Unfamiliar Family. We have that older sister who has her closeted gay husband. And she helps him through that. And then we have this again in She Would Never Know. Like, Yeonseung's gay husband. Or the confused gay husband with the gay friend. And the suspicious relationship. Which turns out to be like, oh, this was a gay relationship the whole time. So now that I think about it, She Would Never Know is a very queer film. I mean, it's a very queer K-drama. It's got a lot of queer subtext going, queer themes going. Because even the friendship between the CEO of the company and the asshole ex-boyfriend of the female lead, like, their relationship, I mean, it's not gay. You know, but they are besties, and there's, like, heartbreak over the demise of that friendship, which could have, like, gay subtext, right? Whenever there's, like, best friendships on the screen, we can always read it as a queer text, right? So there's that happening too. So there's, like, three threads of queerness happening in this show at once, which makes me say that this is a pretty gay-ass show. This is a queer show. I could argue that this is a queer show. So there's a lot to explore in this. But, like, okay, so this is something I do want to point out. Like, what is with the pattern of the K-drama housewife, the side piece, the side story, the K-drama housewife side story with that thing going? Like, why is she a martyr? That's my question. Like, she's sacrificing her rage, sacrificing her sense of, you know, like, feeling like betrayal, sacrificing her sense of, like, well, I'm a single mom now, like, what the fuck, you know, there's that. And she's just like, okay, like, I'll be supportive of you while you go on this journey. And I'm like, but what about your pleasure? What about your desire? What about your loneliness? You know, like, so the feminist in me is asking those questions, because it reminds me a lot of Harper in Angels in America. You know, if you have not read Tony Kushner's Angels in America, you could watch it on HBO. It is available on HBO. I believe Mike Nichols directed it. It's a miniseries on HBO, but it's originally a play written by Tony Kushner, Angels in America, and it's very good. But Harper is a character in Angels in America who is married to a gay man, and there's like a whole, like, drama thing going with that. So, yeah, I'm just kind of like, are these Korean K-drama showrunners, like, these K-drama screenwriters, are they reflecting what they read in Tony Kushner's play? Like, are they recycling that and reinterpreting that in their own way? But, you know, I think they can go further. I think they can go further. And I think, honestly, personally, it would be refreshing. And I don't know if this has already been done yet, but it would be very refreshing to see a K-drama about a woman and she's the lead and she's married to a gay guy and she's going through the drama of being married to a gay guy. That would be interesting. That would be refreshing. So let me pitch that. Huh? Can we explore that? Like, girl, what are you going to do? Your husband's gay. He's been a homo this whole time. All right? You've been fucking Judy Garland this whole time. What are you going to do? Are you going to go buck wild? Are you going to go crazy on his ass? Are you going to go crazy? Are you going to become a lesbian? What's going to happen? Are you going to start cheating on him? What are you going to do? I want to see the madness play out. You know, I want to create space for the woman going through that shit, because that shit is actually real stuff. That there's more drama there than some chick who has a younger dude who has a crush on her, who's telling her, like, don't wear that lipstick, wear a different one. What the fuck? Why is that the drama? Hello? I want to know this middle, you know, Anise story. I want to hear her story. So that is my discussion of the show. And folks, again, you can still order my book and get 20% off on the HachetteBookGroup.com website. You could find that link on kdramaschool.com. You could also find it on gracejungcomedy.com. And the promo code is kdrama20. Thank you all for pre-ordering. Thank you all for listening. I love you. Take good care of yourselves. I'll talk to you all next week.